Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us for the NCC podcast. God is doing so many great things in our community, and I trust that He's doing great things in your life as well. And I trust that God is going to speak to you through this message. Hey North Point, thank you so much for joining us today. This summer, we are going through a series of messages entitled Jesus. And we're not just talking about who Jesus was or what Jesus did, but we're talking more specifically about how Jesus lived. And as His followers, how He was showing us to live as well. As we've been saying over these weeks, we said that that the work of salvation was the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. There is nothing that we can do to earn salvation. There is nothing that we can do to deserve salvation. It comes from the finished work of Jesus. But life transformation comes through the continued work of Jesus. When we allow the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, to do a work on the inside of us, that's how our mind is changed, our behaviors are transformed. And as Christ followers, this is what we believe. Romans 8 tells us that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is the Spirit that lives and dwells on the inside of us. So if we have the Spirit of Christ in us, then what we see in Jesus should be seen in us. What we see in Jesus in the Scriptures, that is what should be seen in us because that is what His Spirit is producing. And so maybe you want to ask, okay, well, what really is it that Spirit would produce in us? Well, the Scripture tells us in Galatians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul writes this, and there are 9 character traits that he writes here and says, hey, this is what the Holy Spirit produces in our lives. It produces this kind of fruit, it says. It says love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And so every week this summer, we are taking one of these character traits and we're talking about it. And today we're going to talk about kindness. The Holy Spirit should produce kindness on the inside of us. Now, if I was to ask you right now and say, hey, how would you define kindness? Many times the way people respond to that question is they say, well, it's being nice to people, or it's caring about others. And yes, that is all true. Why kindness does start with caring and compassion, it definitely does not in there. Actually, the Greek word that Paul used right here in Galatians 5, it actually means useful kindness or profitable kindness. It means meeting real needs in God's way. It's talking about going about life in God's way and meeting needs along the journey. So not only does it meet needs, but here's the other thing about kindness. It meets needs, but it also avoids the human harshness. It avoids that critical spirit. It avoids that harshness that can be so prevalent in humanity. And this is what the definition lets us know. It lets us know that truly kind people don't just have sympathetic emotions, but they also have significant actions. Real kindness is not just found in a sympathetic emotion, it is also found in a significant action. Let me just give you a definition for the word kindness. It's going to be a working definition as we move through the message today, and one that I hope you will keep at the forefront of your life. And this is what this is the way we define kindness. It's a supernaturally big-hearted attitude that produces generous action towards other people even when they don't deserve it and don't love us in return. I want you to see that. It is a supernaturally big-hearted attitude. Now, we know that an attitude, that is our settled way of thinking or feeling about someone or something. So this is a supernaturally big-hearted way of thinking and feeling, but it doesn't stop there. That produces generous action in our lives. And that generous action and that big-hearted attitude, it is towards other people. And I love the last little part of the definition, because it's not just people who feel the same way about you. It's not just people who are going to return the favor. No, it's actually doing this when, one, people don't deserve it, or two, they're not going to do anything in response to it. So it lets us know that kind hearts should overflow with kind words and kind works. That we can't just say, well, I'm kind on the inside, right? I'm kind in my heart. I have a kind heart. How many of you ever heard anybody say that? You have a kind heart, right? Well, a kind heart should also come out in kind words and in kind works. And this is why being judgmental can be so damaging, because I can't get useful kind words and works from a harsh heart. So if I have a judgmental heart, I cannot get kind words and kind works to flow from that place. Remember, what we're talking about is useful kindness. That is the active description of that Greek word, useful kindness. It's kindness that can be put into action. And not just in any type of action, it is doing it God's way, doing it God's way. And this is why prejudice is so deceptive and destructive. Because the word prejudice, it just means to prejudge. And prejudging people based upon their economic status, based upon their race, color of their skin, their religious preferences, judging people based on any predecision, prejudgment, it is very, very destructive. Why? Because prejudice robs you of kindness. Prejudice robs you of the ability to be kind, because I cannot have a supernaturally big-hearted attitude and generous action towards a person or a group of people that I have made excessive critical judgments about. It's impossible. I love the way that Mother Teresa says. She says, if you judge people, you have no time to love them. If you judge people, if you make prejudgments about people, if you are harsh and critical in your judgments towards them, then you are not going to have the attitude necessary for the actions to flow out of your life to love them and to be big-hearted, kind towards them. And now you would think that this would be easy, right, for followers of Christ to grasp this concept that obviously God didn't prejudge us for our rebellious attitudes. He didn't prejudge us for our sinful actions, but instead, God was incredibly generous in his attitude. He was incredibly generous in his action by sending his son, his one and only son, to die in our place. You would think that this would be very easy for a Christ follower to understand, but it can be very, very difficult. And not just did God send his son to the earth, on top of all of that, Jesus then models for us what divine kindness actually looks like. And so today I want to share three quick stories with you from the scriptures that I believe are going to allow us to see the example that Jesus left for us whenever it comes to kindness. The first story, we're going to talk about the leper. The leper, it's found in Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. It says, large crowds followed Jesus as they came down the mountainside. And well, you say, well, what mountainside are they coming down? They're coming, this is the Sermon on the Mount. Maybe you've heard of that before. It's the longest recorded sermon that we have that Jesus preached. It's Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And so Jesus has just preached, and it's there in the Sermon on the Mount that he gives the Beatitudes, right? That blessed are the merciful, that they will receive mercy. It's there that Jesus has said, hey, don't judge others. It's there that he said, hey, before you try to get the speck out of your friend's eye, make sure you deal with the log in your own eye. It's there that Jesus gives us the golden rule, and he says, do unto others as you would like them to do unto you. Verse 2, it says, suddenly
after Jesus coming down from the mountainside, suddenly a man with leprosy approached him and knelt before him. "Lord," the man said, "if you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean." Jesus reached out and touched him. "I am willing," he said, "be healed," and instantly the leprosy disappeared. You see, because of their disease back in Jesus' time, lepers were considered outcasts. They had to live in isolation. They had to live in camps of other lepers, and they were seen as unclean or untouchable. And under the Jewish law, lepers were not supposed to get this close to people. It says that this leper knelt at Jesus' feet, and close proximity was not permitted. Because if they got too close or they touched another person, then that person would become unclean and they wouldn't be able to go to the temple and offer sacrifices. They would have to go through a ceremonial cleansing process. And so this leper is breaking all types of rules and regulations in this moment, coming before Jesus. And I want you to notice what Jesus is paying attention to. Jesus is paying more attention to the man's pain than to the people's protocols. The leper comes. Jesus is paying attention to this man's pain, his hurt. He's paying more attention to his pain than he is to the nation's protocols, to the people's protocols. And Jesus is not coming from a judgmental attitude towards lepers. He's not coming from a place where he's talking about people like that, you know, those lepers. No, instead, Jesus sees the man, and he sees him as a human being. He sees him as one who is sick and hurting and who needs help. You see, this is what the leper shows us. The leper shows us that kindness sees beyond condition. Kindness sees beyond condition, because the Bible says that Jesus reaches out despite his condition, despite being a leper. He reaches out and touches the man who has leprosy. This was a no-no, and Jesus touches him and says, "I am willing, be healed." Now, this is more than just a miracle story. You have to see this. This is more than just this man's leprosy going away. This is more than Jesus just laying hands on a sick person and them recovering. This is Jesus touching a man who has not been touched. This is a man who has been isolated and ostracized and on the outside looking in. Somebody that wasn't allowed to live life in a normal capacity. And here Jesus touches him. And what he was saying is, he was saying, "I'm willing to be associated with you. I'm willing to get into the messy areas of life with you. I am willing to help you. I am willing to heal you. I am willing. I am willing to come and to be with you. I am willing." And listen, we should know this to be true. Why? Because God looked beyond our condition. When he sent his son to die for us, he looked beyond our condition of sin. He looked beyond our addictions. He looked beyond our greed and our selfishness. He looked beyond our hate. And with big-hearted compassion and generosity, God sent his one and only son to this earth to die for us. That's what the Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. "But God shows his great love for us in this way. Christ died for us while we were still sinners." Did you see that? While we were still sinners. While we were still in the midst of our rebellion and our sin and our poor attitude and our selfish ambition and our jealousy and envy and greed and doing life our own way, that's when Jesus came and died. And so God looked beyond our condition, because our condition was sinner. But God's response was to send a Savior. Our condition was sinner. God's response was to send a Savior. You see, that is kindness. That is a big-hearted attitude followed by generous action. That is the kindness that we see in God, and it's the kindness that we see in Jesus. Now, here's the second story we're going to look at, and that is the story of the Samaritan. And it's found in John chapter 4. Just a few weeks ago, Jesus, Destiny told us the parable that Jesus told about the Good Samaritan, but this is actually an encounter with a real Samaritan woman. In John chapter 4, verse 3, the Bible says, "So Jesus left Judea and returned to Galilee, and he had to go through Samaria on the way. Eventually, he came to the Samaritan village of Sychar, near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. Soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, 'Please give me a drink.' He was alone at the time because his disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. The woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, 'You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?' And Jesus replied, 'If you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me, and I would give you living water.'" Oh, man. I mean, this is one of my favorite interactions in all of the scripture. Here at Jacob's well, Jesus and this Samaritan woman, and the story goes on. It's the whole John chapter 4, and the lady responds, and she says, "Well, give me this water so that I will never thirst again." And Jesus tells her, he says, "Well, go and get your husband." And she says, "Well, I don't actually have a husband." And Jesus says, "Yeah, you're right. You answered truthfully. You've had five husbands, and the man that you're living with right now, you're not actually married to." And she says, "Oh, wow, you must be a prophet." And Jesus says, I'm not actually a prophet. I am the Messiah." And it ends up where she runs back into the village and she begins to tell everybody in the village about her experience with this man. He claims to be the Messiah. She gets people from the village to come out. And the Bible tells us that many people in the village believed the message of Jesus and that Jesus was the Messiah. But here's the truth. Jews didn't walk through Samaria. Jews didn't walk. If you remember when I just read a second ago, it said Jesus had to go through Samaria. Here's the reality. Jesus did not have to go through Samaria. The place where he was going, it was a direct route through Samaria, but here's what the Jews would do. The Jews would walk miles around Samaria so that they did not have to walk through it. So when you read that and it says Jesus had to go through Samaria, you understand that it wasn't not a geographical thing that he had to go through. No, he had to go through because there was an appointment. He had to go through because there was a lesson. He had to go through because there was something that he wanted to teach all of us about kindness. He had to go through Samaria, but Jews didn't go through Samaria. And if they did go through Samaria, they didn't stop in Samaria. And if they did stop in Samaria, they were not going to talk to a Samaritan. And if they had to talk to a Samaritan, they certainly were not going to talk to a Samaritan woman. But enter Jesus and his supernaturally generous orientation towards all people, even Samaritans, and even Samaritan women. The Bible actually says later that when the disciples came from the village with food and they saw Jesus, it says that they were surprised, they were shocked whenever they saw him talking to this Samaritan woman at the well. Why? Why were these people who had been with Jesus, seen the miracles, heard that, why were they so shocked? because it went against the Jewish tradition. See, here's what the Samaritan shows us. It shows us that kindness sees beyond tradition. That real divine kindness sees beyond tradition. The Bible says in Matthew 23, I love it in the Message translation here, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, the religious rulers of that day, and he says, you keep meticulous account books, tithing on every little nickel and dime you get, but on the meat of God's law, things like fairness, compassion, and commitment, the absolute basics, you carelessly take it or leave it. Careful bookkeeping is commendable, but the basics are required. Do you have any idea how silly you look writing a life story that's wrong from start to finish, nitpicking over commas and semicolons? I love Jesus. He says, hey, good job. Okay, great. You are tithing. Okay, great. You are doing all of these little things. But Jesus's point is that you are missing the point. You are missing the point. The point isn't just to do the little things. You are missing the point. And he says, you're wrong about the whole story, and you're arguing and nitpicking over the commas and the semicolons and the grammar and the punctuation, and your story is wrong from start to finish because you are focused on the wrong things. He says, you've got to get the essentials. You got to get the basics, fairness, compassion, commitment. Other translations say mercy, justice, faith, and humility. These are all things that flow from the attitude and the action of kindness. See, regardless of the traditions of your family, regardless of the traditions of our society, regardless of the traditions of your friends, regardless of the traditions of your country, regardless of the traditions of past generations, you see, we have to choose divine kindness. We have to see beyond the traditions so that we can live with the kindness that God has called us to live with. Now let's get to the third and the last story today, and that is the story of the tax collector. The story of the tax collector in Luke chapter 19. It says that Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in the region. He had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. Zacchaeus, he said, come down now. I must be a guest in your home today. Come down now. Can you just see little Zacchaeus there? I mean, he's in his Louis Vuitton. I mean, he's got his Gucci sandals on. I mean, he has got everything. I mean, he is looking nice, but he can't see over the crowd. He's heard about Jesus. He wants to get a glimpse of Jesus, but he's too short, and he's in the back of the crowd. So he gets an idea. Come on, can't you see him? In his expensive sandals and his nice robe and cloak and all the gear. And here he is climbing up with his rings and fancy watch, and he's climbing up the tree. And there Jesus stops at the tree and he calls Zacchaeus by name. He says, Zacchaeus, come down from that tree. Man, I want to spend some time with you. I want to be a guest in your house. Now, once again, let's understand the context. Jews despise tax collectors. Why? Because tax collectors were sellouts. Man, they were thieves. They were stealing from their own people, because tax collectors were Jewish people who were working for their Roman oppressor. And not only were they just working for the Romans, they were also taking advantage of God's people. So they would take the tax and they would charge a little bit more. And so they would pad their own pockets. So Rome was paying them a paycheck, but then they were taking a little extra right off the top. So they were stealing from God's people. And the Jews could not stand these thieves, these tax collectors. But Jesus didn't see a tax collector. No, Jesus saw a Zacchaeus. Jesus didn't see the chief tax collector in the region. No, Jesus didn't see all the wealth that he had accumulated at the expense of God's own people. No, Jesus just saw Zacchaeus. He doesn't label him by his title. He doesn't label him by his job description. Jesus doesn't label him by his political affiliation or by his life choices. No, Jesus simply sees the man Zacchaeus. See, here's what the tax collector shows us. It shows us that kindness sees beyond position. Real divine kindness, it sees beyond position. You see, sometimes this can be the most difficult one for us out of all three. Because seeing people beyond the position they take when it comes to political parties, religious beliefs, life philosophies, conspiracy theories, vaccines, you see, seeing people beyond the positions that they take, it can be very, very challenging and very difficult. And maybe not even seeing people beyond the position that they take when it comes to an issue. Maybe you have to see beyond the position that people take, even the position that they take on you, because maybe they don't like you. And maybe you still have to be kind to them, even though they take an opinion and they take a position about you. This is what Jesus said in Luke chapter 6. He says, I tell you, love your enemies. Help and give without expecting a return. You'll never, I promise, regret it. Live out this God-created identity the way the Father lives towards us, generously and graciously, even when we're at our worst. Our Father is kind, you be kind. When you hear that right there in Jesus' teaching, he says, hey, he says, God loves you when you're at your worst. God is kind to you. And he says, so why don't you be like God? God is kind to you. So why don't you be kind to others? And Jesus went as far to say, love your enemies and go ahead and give to people even when they can't give anything back to you. You see, we have to be kind despite the position that people take. Remember, we're building this whole series around this one concept. What we see in him should be seen in us. What we see in the life of Jesus when it comes to kindness should be the kindness that we see in our lives. But this doesn't happen until we see what he sees. Come on, until we see what Jesus sees, we will never see beyond the position. We will never see beyond the condition. We will never see beyond the tradition. We will never be able to see beyond these things until we first see what Jesus sees. And so we need to allow the Holy Spirit in us, the Spirit of Christ in us, to say, okay, Jesus, I see what you see. I want to see what you see every single day so that I can see beyond these things, so that the kindness that was in you can also be found in me. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 17, it says this, people who are kind will be rewarded for their kindness, but cruel people will be rewarded with trouble. People who are kind will be rewarded for their kindness, but people who are cruel, people who are harsh, people who are judgmental, people who live with prejudice, they will only be rewarded with trouble. You see, maybe today you're watching and maybe you're experiencing some trouble, some strain, some tension in your life. And maybe that struggle and strain and tension is there because we're not living with a big-hearted attitude towards others. Maybe because we're not living with generous action towards others. Maybe because we don't have the right thoughts and the right feelings and the right actions. Maybe, just maybe, that is creating some trouble in our lives, because the scripture says that whenever you are kind, you will be rewarded for that kindness. And this is the challenge that Jesus gives us. Look at the kindness in him and let that kindness in him flow out of each and every one of us every day. Well, we are closing up every Sunday, every sermon, with a lead acrostic, because in 2021, we said this is our year of application. This is the time where we put what Jesus said, what we are learning, where we put it into action. We got to put it into operation in our lives. And so if we're going to do that, that means, hey, we've got to lead ourselves well. And so we just have a little acrostic for lead. We say it's learn, evaluate, apply, and the D is always the same, do it again. And so what did we learn today? What is our takeaway? Our takeaway is simply the definition of kindness that I gave you earlier, and that is that kindness is a supernaturally big-hearted attitude that produces generous action towards other people. It's supernatural. The kindness that we're talking about, it comes because we are connected to a supernatural source. It is out of Jesus that this kindness comes. This is divine kindness. It is a supernatural, big-hearted attitude. And that attitude, that way of thinking or feeling, produces in us a generous action towards other people. We could even say towards all people, towards people who agree with us and don't agree with us, towards people who look like us and don't look like us. It is towards everyone. The evaluation is this: am I generously inclined towards everyone around me, or do I think and speak harshly to or about them? Very simple. Am I generously inclined towards everyone around me? Towards everyone that's around me, everyone in the world. Look, we're not talking about just everyone in your house. We're not just talking about everyone on your street, okay? No, we're talking about everyone that you come in contact with, the people that you do business with, the people that you get your coffee from, the places that you go. Are you generously inclined towards all of them? Are you thinking and speaking harshly about them or to them? Is that part? If that's so, then we know we have got some work to do when it comes to kindness. Here is our apply. The apply is this: do a random act of kindness for someone this week. Do a random act of kindness for someone this week. Now I want to give you a little extra credit. You want a little extra credit? It's not just a random act of kindness for someone this week, because, I mean, you could do a random act of kindness for me or somebody else that you might like or appreciate or value. This is the extra credit. Do a random act of kindness for someone you disagree with or someone you know doesn't like you. That's the extra credit. Come on, do an act of kindness for someone that you disagree with. Whatever that might be, you just disagree with them, or you know they don't like you. That's the extra credit. Do an act of kindness for them. And then the D is always the same, right? The D is just do it again. Do it again. Keep on living with this supernatural, big-hearted attitude. Keep living with this supernatural, generous action. Keep on living in this way, producing the kindness of Jesus in us so that what we see in him can truly be seen in us. That is the goal as Christ followers, that we would look like Christ, talk like Christ, act like Christ, love like Christ, live like Christ, serve like Christ, that we would be the light of the world the same way that Jesus was the light of the world. Can I pray for you right now? Father, thank you. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. God, thank you for everything that you have done. God, thank you for your kindness towards us. Oh, come on, can you take a moment right now and just thank God for his kindness towards you while you were yet a sinner, while you were trapped in your own ways and your own opinions, while you were right there caught up and enamored in your own selfish actions, pleasing yourself, when you were right there in your rebellious, wicked attitudes, man, Jesus came to this earth for you. God, in his kindness, he saw you, and he didn't just see your condition. He didn't just see the condition of your sin. No, he saw you. He saw beyond that. And he said, I'm willing. I'm willing to send my son. I'm willing to come. Jesus said, I'm willing to be the sacrifice. I'm willing to shed my blood. I'm willing. And maybe right now as you're watching, you say, Philip, I know I need to connect with God. And Jesus is your pathway. Jesus makes it possible for you to connect with God. So right now you say, because of Jesus, I want to connect with God. I want a relationship with God. I need a fresh start. I need a new beginning in my life. I want to receive the kindness of God today. I want to receive the forgiveness of my sins. Right now you say, Philip, that's me. Come on, just tell God. Just say, God, that's me right now, right where you are. Watching in your kitchen, your bedroom, your living room, watching in your office, wherever you may be right now, just tell God. Say, God, that's me. God, that's me. I want to receive your kindness right now. I want my sins to be forgiven. I want a fresh start, and I want a brand new beginning. Now, maybe today you say, Philip, I want to live this Jesus kindness. I want to live this divine kindness. This is the way that I want to live my life. I want to see beyond condition. I want to see beyond tradition. I want to see beyond position. I want to see beyond all of these things, and I just want to see people. And I want to see people in their pain and in their hurt, in their need, in their need for help. I just want to see people the way Jesus sees people so that I can love people the way that Jesus has loved me. Right now you say, Philip, that's me. That's the way I want to live. I want to live in divine kindness. Come on, just tell God. Say, God, that's me. Come on, just tell him right there. Say, God, that's me. That's what I want. I want to live in kindness. I want to live in kindness. Father, I thank you for each and every person watching right now. For every person that said, that's what I want. I want a relationship with God. For every person that said, I want to live with the kindness of Jesus. God, I pray that your spirit would continue to do a work, that out of your Holy Spirit, that Holy Spirit would produce in us the kindness of Jesus, and that it would play out in our lives every single day. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen, 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 and amen. Hey, I just want to say again, thank you so much for tuning in, for watching. I really hope that this series, I'm going to tell you what, this series has been blessing my life as I'm preparing, as I'm studying. It's been blessing me. It's been challenging me. It's been comforting me. It's been doing all of these things. I hope it's been doing the same for you. And I want you to come back next week, because we're going to roll right in. We're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit producing goodness, and you don't want to miss it. God bless you.
Thank you for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and share our podcast. For more content from NCC and how to get connected, visit ncc.team.